This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a love for his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a deep appreciation for the lessons that we learn by studying his life. I was listening to one sheikh as he was teaching seerah, and he said, as you listen to the seerah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, try to envision him, try to be there with him, try to envision you being with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make this all the more real. Up till now, we've been studying Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man, his life prior to revelation, in order for us to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through in order to prepare him for the task that would be given to him, as we're going to talk about in today's lesson. Over 1400 years ago, on Ramadan the 17th, this incident we're going to study right now took place. Today is Ramadan the 17th. And it's just beautiful to realize what we're studying. We're studying in tonight's lesson the commencement of the final prophet's message, the beginning of everything we know from Islam, the beginning of everything, the Taraweeh, the Zakat, the Hajj, the Umrah, the Aqsa, everything starts with this moment right now, this moment of revelation. And it was in the month of Ramadan that this Quran was revealed. So it's so beautiful that we now are going to study this moment when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is making this transition. And it's a beautiful transition, but all transitions are difficult. Every transition in life is difficult. This is the greatest of transitions. This is him going from just being Muhammad al-Bashar to Muhammad al-Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, it's the 40th year of his life. 2 years prior, we studied that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he began to love solitude. And we said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door to his closeness to you, one of the signs is that you start to begin to love solitude. You want space from people a little bit just so that you can spend more time. And Ibn Ata'illah al-Askandari, he said, whenever you feel a bit of estrangement from people, know that that's because Allah is opening a door and calling you to get close to him. So the Prophet began to love solitude. But in this solitude, he did not know how to worship. And this is so beautiful because there are so many people that are on the precipice of accepting Islam. They're so close. They're done with the idolatry. They're done with the living for whatever. They're done with believing that worshiping human beings. They're done with that. But they don't know what to do now. They don't know how. And so as I look in the room and I see the converts nodding their head, they know just what I'm saying. It's, you know what the haq is, that the haq is out there and that you weren't on it. But you don't know how. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this moment, he was done. He's like, I'm done. I'm done with society. I'm done with the way they treat their daughters. I'm done with the interest. I'm done. And what he had to do is he had to distance himself from it. And what he had that all of us need is support within the home. He had this amazing support. This one woman, radiallahu anha, who was everything. The narration says that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go off for layali, dawati adad, for many nights. It was Ramadan. He had started the month of Ramadan and he went off to this cave, which was 3 miles away, where from out of the cave, you can look right at the Kaaba. So he's able to see the Kaaba. He's able to see the traces of Abraham's legacy. without being mixed up with everything that was the things people messed up and put around it. So he's sitting there. And Aisha narrates this moment on the 17th of Ramadan. She says that he would spend his nights in this cave. قَبَلَ أَنْ يَنْزِيَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَيَتَزَوَّدُ. He would take provisions. And the scholars say that's deep. He didn't just go off on a retreat and like, Allah will provide for me. No, he packed his stuff. He took what was necessary. حَتَّى جَاءَهُ الْحَقِّ. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, hatta ja'ahu al-haq, until the truth came. Until the truth came. That moment when haq hit him. Wa huwa fi ghari Hira. And he's in the cave of Hira. Faja'ahu al-malaku. The angel came. Now hold on, before we go forward, you got to understand, a lot of us read this moment as if he was waiting, like, yo, where you been, Jibreel? Been waiting for you. La. He's not expecting this. He's not expecting this sudden rush of nur that is about to hit his heart. Not expecting it. He's not expecting this sudden responsibility that's going to be placed on his heart. He just knows, I'm done with society and I just need to be here to connect to my Lord. But he has no idea what's coming. And I have to say that to you so that you're ready to really be with the heart of Muhammad in this moment. Whenever you study the seerah, you have to put your heart where his heart is in that moment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here he is, emotionally just done with people, done with society, seeing the ills around him, but not knowing how to change them. In this cave, 3 miles walk from his home. Dark, there's no light there. A little bit of moonlight because it's the 17th of Ramadan. So there's some moonlight. And he's sitting in this cave, not expecting what's going to happen in this moment. وَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ. The angel Gabriel comes, but he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know. He hasn't studied the books of ancient prophets. He doesn't know what this is. The angel comes in the form of a man. فَقَالَ اِقْرَأ. According to Ibn Ishaq and others, Gabriel was holding something. Something that had some type of writing on it. And he said, Iqra, read. And he said, but I can't read. Other scholars, they say, no. It wasn't that he was holding something. It was that Iqra means to recite. And the reason he said he couldn't recite was because it was too much fear and anxiety in that moment. There's too much going on in his head. There's too much pressure. He says, I can't read. I can't. Ma ana biqari'an. Qala fa'akhadhani. Gabriel grabbed me and he hugged me. He hugged me tight, holding me tight until I felt I'd reached my furthest limit. Then he let me go and he said to me again, read. And I said, I can't read. So he grabbed me again for a second time and squeezed me so tight that I thought I would reach my end. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then for the third and final time, he said, read. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this moment of transition, he doesn't know what to do. He says, I can't read. I can't. And what we learn here is in life, there will be things you feel like you can't. But it's not you that's doing it. It's with God's divine grace, you will do it. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. That corporation you want to build, you can't. But Allah will make you do it, inshallah. That beautiful household you want to build and emulate like the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that happen. It's not you. It's not us. As one scholar said, it's not that we look at what we will do today. It's that we look what God will do with us today. What will Allah do with me today? As I said before, we are all canvases upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His brilliance upon. Canvases upon which a painter paints. I'm just a canvas upon which Allah shows His brilliance on each and every one of us. So in that moment, on the third time, why 3 times? Scholars say because there's 3 things that will change when you read the Quran, when you connect to Muhammad, there's 3 things. Your intentions will change, your words will change, and your actions will change. 3 times. 3 things will change in your life. Third time, he let go of him. And now it begins. Revelation, y'all. Speech of Allah, Kalam Allah, revealed on the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that moment, Jibril, he says, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." No. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Read in the name of your Lord. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. He created us from a clot of blood. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read, and your Lord is most generous, most noble. First time this is being revealed. Revealed, y'all. Like, revelation means it was hidden. And this is the moment now it's being revealed. From Lawh al-Mahfuz, it was brought down. But this is the first time this is coming. Alladhi 'allama bil qalam, the one who taught by the pen. 'Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Through revelation, through learning, through education, which is God-centric education, Allah inspires humans with knowledge which they never knew before. The revelation stops and Gabriel is gone. And now our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is left to deal with what remains within him. What would remain in this moment inside his heart, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, somebody came up to me after last halakha. I saw him here a minute ago. And he said, "How do you know when you see him in a dream? Does he got to look like the description you gave? Hair to here, complexion this color?" I said, no. The scholars say you just know it's him when you see him. And wallah, right in front of me, he started to cry. I was like, "Oh, you tasted it. You got it, Habibi." I didn't want to put him on blast, so I just walked away. Let him enjoy the moment. You just know when you see him. He doesn't have to fit a description. You just know in your heart, "I saw the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was him." May Allah give us that. Ameen. So right away, his heart is confused, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He doesn't know what happened. It felt amazing, but scary and intense, all in one time. What do I do? His heart is shaking because the divine infinite just communicated with the finite. They say if God spoke to us in his language, it would all sound like Alif Lam Mim. We wouldn't understand it. So he brings it down into our language so we can understand it. But the true language, you couldn't understand that. It would all sound like Alif Lam Mim. Ha Mim. What's Ha Mim? I don't know. Exactly. You know, when you talk to a child, you like baby talk, or if you talk to someone like has got an accent, you all of a sudden got an accent too. Nah, I'm the only one that does that. Allah speaks to us so we can understand. And he's taken his vast, his endless knowledge and gave it to us in speech. But it's heavy though. It's heavy. The Sahaba say, and I'll get to it later, one Sahabi says, the Prophet's knee was resting on my thigh. We were just chilling. Can you imagine that? And then, while I'm thinking I'm getting the best relationship, revelation begins. He says, the pressure down on my leg, I felt that my femur, the femur is in one of the biggest bones in the body. He felt, I was like, my femur is about to crack because of the revelation. He was on me and revelation began. And the pressure, the G-force on my body. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Some say that the reason Gabriel hugged him, because if he wasn't patient with these three hugs, it means he wasn't ready yet. So once he was able to handle the three hugs, Gabriel's like, "All right, he's ready. Let's go." Revelation begins. So his heart is shaking. Involuntary, he's quivering. And he stumbles down this mountain. He's 3 miles away from home. He's not 5 minutes away. He's 3 miles away from home in the middle of the night. He stumbles his way down the hill. Picture it. See it. Feel his terror. Feel his anxiety. Feel his feelings. He runs down and the hadith says, يَرْجُفُ فُؤَادُهُ. His heart is shaking. فَدَخَلَ عَلَى خَدِيجَةَ. Abu Bakr was his friend. Abu Talib was his close uncle. Scholars say, but where did he go? There were other people close to him. There were other people close to him. But there was no one who was there to support him like Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Brothers and sisters, young men and women, strive to create relationships that emulate this. That when your husband or your wife is in a moment of stress, they run straight to you, not somewhere else. Be that place of support. Make intention. Some of y'all are like 18, y'all are like, man, I ain't ready for that. But make that intention to be that. Sisters, make that intention to be that Khadija when you need to be. SubhanAllah, he runs to her. Look where he goes first, straight to her arms. He stumbles into the door, 3 miles away, stumbles into the door, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me, cover me, cover me. I just need to be held. Cover me, hold me. She says, "Hatta dhahaba anhu ar-ru'u." His heart started to calm down. The tremors were slowing. His breathing was slowing. He was getting composure. And she said, "Now tell me what you saw." Scholars say, subhanAllah, she's brilliant. Not from the moment he walked in, the moment you walk in. What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? You're like, yo, chill. Can't catch my breath, yo. The scholars say, subhanAllah, she did not ask when he first walked in the door. She held him. He'll tell me when it's time. He'll tell me when he's ready to let it out. He's not ready yet. And we do it all the time. Your boy, right, gets in the car right away. What happened, bro? What happened? What happened? La, chill. The person will tell you when it's time. Just be there for them in the moment and let them gain composure. She's brilliant, radiallahu anha. Then she says, tell me what happened. Wa akhbaraha al-khabar. He told her everything he saw. And he says, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. He says, I'm scared for myself. I want you to connect to his heart. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I'm scared. I'm scared. What was he scared of? Everything. He thought, maybe I'm going crazy. He thought, what does this mean? What's wrong with me? Is this normal? There's so many things flooding his mind. Some say he was scared for his life because those hugs, he still felt the pain of them. He's scared, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next time you feel a moment where you're scared, that's your moment you connect to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I'm scared. What's going to happen? And without batting an eye, without a second's delay, she says the most strongest statement. She says, "Kella, no. No. La yukhzik Allah abadan." This is amazing. She says, no. Don't say that. Don't think that. Some of us need people in our lives, man. We need coaches. We need people that will be there for us and say that. We need parents that will do that for us. Or you need to be an older sibling that does that for a younger sibling. What does she say? Kalla, la yukhzik Allah abada. No, Allah will never let you down. So she doesn't know what's going on. But she knows two things. She knows Allah will never let us down. And she knows his character. She doesn't know. She doesn't have a clue what's happening. Maybe an inkling, maybe a little bit. But she doesn't really know. But she still can speak firmly and say, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, la yukzik Allah abadan. Allah will never humiliate you, leave you. Allah will never forsake you. And then she begins to describe him. Now for me, when I read this, it's amazing what she pointed out. She said, innaka latasilu rahim. You bring the family together. You bring the family together. What tasduqul hadith. You don't lie, you speak true. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ You carry the ones that can't do things for themselves. Some of us have people in our own families that can't do for themselves. Due to special needs, disabilities, anything. Do you embody this prophetic narration by carrying those who can't carry themselves? You, تَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ She says, you work for the one that doesn't have anything. وَتَقْرِئُ الضَّيْفِ You honor the guests. When people come, you honor them. Open your house up to them. Food, whatever you need. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبُ الْحَقِّ You help in all the paths of good. You know what's crazy? He spent the last 2 years in a cave worshiping, doing ibadah. She didn't mention any ibadah. She didn't mention any ibadah. Because ibadah is not what the Prophet said, I have been sent to perfect character. He came to make us true human beings to one another. People that honor one another. She didn't say, oh, you've been in i'tikaf for 4 or 5 months. Allah will never forsake you. Oh, you've been fasting. Oh, you've been praying. She said, no. Her insight was what truly shows God's grace upon you is you become a people that serve the people. You become someone that's in the service of people. That's how we know that God's grace is with you. Allahu fi awn al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi awn akhi. Hadith says, Allah is helping you so long you are helping somebody else. Scholars used to say, whenever I got in a tough situation, I used to go around the city look for somebody to help because I knew right away my situation would get tight. I used to go look for somebody else. Cognitive. For us, it's like, if it's my problem, I need to focus more on me. The Prophet said, no, there's another formula here. There's a divine one. When you have problems, go help somebody else. Because while you're helping them, guess who's help taking care of your problem? Now, you can handle your problem on your own if you want. Or you can say, hold on. I knew this one person who was going through some kind of like emotional troubles. And while he was going through these things, this sheikh, he was telling me, he was like, I was going through my own emotional problems, but people would call me and ask for, like, help. And as I pick up the phone, I'm like, bro, man, I need your help right now. But he's like, I remembered this hadith. And wallahi, every time I got off the phone with somebody, I felt the weight lifted. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, no. Then what happened? The narration says, she allowed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rest. And Ibn Hisham, he says, ثُمَّ قَامَتْ تَجْمَعَ عَلَيْهَا ثِيَابَهَا Then she got up and she put her clothes on herself, by herself. The Prophet's resting. It's been a long night. ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَتْ إِلَى وَرَقَةٍ She goes by herself to Waraqa first. Waraqa, her cousin. Waraqa was a Christian. He had converted long ago. He was 90 years old now. He had gone blind. And he used to translate the Hebrew scriptures into Arabic for people to listen to and try to do da'wah. But he was old now. So she goes to him. And فَأَخْبَرَتْهُ She tells him everything that the Prophet ﷺ had just told her. What he saw, what he heard. And I don't even know how to translate it. He goes, قُدُّوسٌ قُدُّوسٌ Like Quddus is like holy, like I don't know how to translate it. قُدُّوسٌ قُدُّوسٌ Uh-oh, like this is it. This man is 90 years old. He's been studying scripture forever. He knows the final prophet is coming. And just when you think it's time for you to leave the world, here comes Khadija in. Guess what just went down? So he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي وَرَقَ بِيَدِي I swear by Allah. If you are what you're saying is true, يَا خَدِيجَ قَدْ جَاءَهُ النَّامُوسِ الْأَكْبَرِ The greatest angel, Gabriel, has come. He has come, the one that came to Moses. This husband of yours is the final messenger. They say right there, Waraqa bin Nawfal is the first Muslim. Some say, no, Khadija beat him. She's like, no, I already believed in him. Like, no, I got dibs first. Why you think I married him? I already knew who he was. Like, he goes, subhanAllah. She goes, faquli lahu. Because he's leaving. She has to go back to the Prophet ﷺ. So as she's walking away, he stops her and he says, tell him, Uthbut, tell him be strong. tell them, be strong. To the converts, to those coming back to the deen, I tell you, be strong. Be strong. Ain't going to be easy. You think your family's just going to let you just start rocking hijab again? You think they're going to let you start practicing the sunnah? Haters are haters. The people that truly love you will love to see you grow. I haven't shared this before, but it's all good. It's Ramadan. I had a really, like, I was out there before Islam. I was out there. And really bad company. When I converted, you know, 20-something years ago, I tried to stay with that company for a little bit. Because maybe I could call them, you know. That's what we all say. I could call them, I could bring them. And, you know, it was the company on the block that said to me, bro, don't chill here no more. You've moved on. Keep going. Why you come back here? Not out of hate. I hope y'all feel what's being said. It's when you progress forward, the haters will try to pull you back. The people that truly love you will say, keep running. Keep going. As you turn new leaf spiritually, use that as a litmus test to see who truly loves you, y'all. See, use that as a litmus test, who truly loves you. I'm going to Isha every day now. Now you hating on me? When I was going to other places at night, no one was angry with me. It wasn't a big deal. Whoa, but now everyone has a problem? Subhanallah, subhanallah. So he says to him, Uthbut, because he doesn't know he's about to meet him. He doesn't know. He's 90 years old. He goes, tell him to be firm. Khadija comes back to the house. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wakes up sometime later. She says, come with me. We have to go see someone. We have to go see someone. And I want to add something here. Don't sleep on the benefit of having elders around you. Don't sleep on the benefit of talking to elders and running past them what you're going through in life. We think just because they can't download an app, you know, open an iPhone or whatever, just because they take funny selfies, that they don't know nothing about life. Mm-mm. The issues that truly matter, the elders will give you the best advice in. Best advice. They say, al-baraka ma'a kabirukum. Baraka is with the elders. If you have a grandma and nani or a daddy in the house, man, that's gold, man. Value that. Talk to her. You think she was never 21 years old? You think she was never 33? You think she's never been through life? Nah. So they go to Waraka. Who? Khadija and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They go to Waraka. SubhanAllah, time. Now, she goes, Ibn Ammi. She goes, cousin. That's her cousin, right? She says, cousin, I want you to listen to your nephew. Now, it's not really his nephew, but that's just how we talk, right? Isma' min ibn akhika. Listen to your nephew. فَقَالَ لَهُ وَرَقَ. He goes, يَبْنَ أَخِي. Hey, nephew. By the way, stop calling me Unk, man. Brothers keep calling me Unk. Y'all know the inside joke. Yo, Hussein. They start calling me Unk, bruh. I guess I gotta take it. It's all good. He says, hey, nephew. مَاذَا تَرَى. What did you see, nephew? You know why I'm smiling so much? Because where I'm from, this is how you talk. Unk and nephew, like, you're not related at all. But it's just that relationship, subhanAllah. So he says to the Prophet, hey nephew, tell me what you saw, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَخْبَرَهُ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He told him everything. And Waraka is sitting there. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. هَذَا هُوَ النَّامُوسَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مُوسَى. He's like, this is it. You saw the angel. You saw the angel. The Prophet's like, angel, what are you talking about? What is this? I don't know what you're talking about. No, the one that came on Moses, the one that came on Jesus. What are you talking? I don't know. He says, and then Waraka has a moment with himself. He has a moment. As if he's not even thinking about the Prophet for a moment. He goes, man, I wish I was young. Ya laytani jada'un. Jedha is like a young goat, like when it's just prancing around, right? He goes, man, I wish I was young. SubhanAllah, but you're not ready. We would say, I wish I was young, because of the ease of life coming. Mm-mm. He goes, I wish I was young so I could be there when they kick us out. When they go against us. When they fight against us. Yeah, Shabbat. Do you hear what he's saying? I wish I was young so I could be there for the difficult days coming. Not for the ease coming. For the difficult days coming. Wallahi, they were different than us. They were different than us. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمسا. Take care of five things before five things. And one of them, take advantage of being young, like me, not an unk, before you get old. Waraka is 90 years old and the Prophet comes and he's like, oh man. He's happy he got him. But for a moment, he had a moment within his own heart where he said, man, I wish I could be there. Now, you know what else is beautiful, what scholars say? He goes, Ya laytani akunu hayyan. I wish I would be alive. Idh yukhrijuka qawmuka. When the people kick you out. Now, he doesn't realize it, but he just slipped up in a way. Because the Prophet ﷺ is loved by all of Mecca. Everyone knows him. He is Sadiqul Amin. Remember when he walked in and they were fixing the Kaaba? The moment he walked in, they're like, oh. Like the moment he walked in, everyone was like, oh, he's here. Case closed. We've solved it. So he goes, man, I wish I could be there the day they kick you out of this city. And the Prophet in that moment, he goes, wait, hold on, run that back? He says, subhanAllah, Rasul SallAllahu he says, Awa mukhrijiyahum ana? Well, they're going to kick me out? Because the me there is like, everyone loves me here. Why would they kick me out? See, what I want you to understand is this message, this deen, didn't come to a person who already didn't fit in. No, it came to a person that had to overcome the battle of a lot of us, we get pushback. And we don't like to be like pushed to the side. The Prophet loved the people he was with. He wasn't someone that was outcast. He was with the people already. So this scared him big time. Connect to his heart, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Connect to what he was going through in that moment. You're telling me I'm going to get kicked out? And look what he says next. He says, Naam. Yeah. Yeah. Nephew. لَمْ يَأْتِي رَجُلٍ قَتُّ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِتَّ بِي إِلَّا أُوْدِيَ. No prophet has ever brought your message except that society went against them. Because this message forces people to change. It forces the oppressor to stop oppression. It forces people to be just. It forces people to be true. It forces you to correct your intentions. This is why everyone went against it. He goes, yep. So why do I say that? Inshallah, Allah will make your journey to higher levels in Islam easier. Ameen. But when it gets tough, remember this moment. No prophet ever came with this, except that people went against them. Alhamdulillah, I'm rolling with the right crew right now. No, that's how you know. You know, there's a hadith that says, towards the end of times, when Qiyamah is getting close, and Dajjal is coming, and people trying to fulfill prophecies and stuff, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, when it's in the times, holding on to the deen is going to be like holding on to a hot coal. One of my shuyukh, he used to say, if your hand don't feel like it's burning, are you holding on to something? Like that little bit of heat you should feel. That little bit of like, man, it's getting hot. That means you're holding something. That means you're holding on to it. So, subhanAllah, he says, وَإِنْ يُدْرِكَنِ يَوْمَكَ. He goes, and if I'm around on your day, I would support you. Now, here is where scholars speak about the power of intentions. On this blessed night of Ramadan, Ramadan 17th, where this revelation began, the night when this incident took place 1,400 years ago, subhanAllah, intentions. The hadith says, niyatul mu'min khayru or aqwa min amali. The niyyah of the believer is stronger than their action. Focus on your intentions. Allah will open doors. focus on intentions. I read one thing that it says, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ يُعَذِّمُهُ النِّيَّةِ. There are some actions that are very, very small, but it's made big because of the intention in your heart. He lived for only a few weeks after this moment. He died within the next few weeks. But his reward is with all of the Sahaba, because he says, if I had the life, I would do it. We're not responsible for outcomes because we don't know how long we'll live. All you're responsible for is making sound intentions. And that's all we have control over. The Prophet ﷺ leaves and walks away. He walks away from this moment. And one narration says before he gets up, Waraka pulls the Prophet forward and he kisses him on his forehead. This is the Prophet in front of me. This is the final messenger. He kisses him on his forehead. And then the Prophet ﷺ gets up and he walks away. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't know what's going on. He's learning. He's coming to the realization of who he is. What happens next is there's a pause in revelation. It's called Fatratul Wahi. The revelation stops. Right after it came the first time, and after he started to get comfortable with this idea, it stops. And it stops for difference of opinion on how long, either 3 days or about 2 weeks or so, maybe even a month. But the revelation doesn't come. And the scholars say, why? What's the wisdom in this? They say the wisdom is so that his fear went down, but his shauq or desire went up. So now he started to desire it. Like, let me give an example. There was a moment later in the seerah. It's beautiful. There's a moment later in the seerah. We'll wrap up soon so we can make dua, because Maghrib is at 44, right? Okay. I'll just end with this, okay? So there's a moment later in the seerah where Jibril doesn't come for 40 days. And when he finally comes, the narration says, أَبْطَأَ جِبْرِيلُ نُزُولَ عَلَى رَسُولُ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. For 40 days he didn't come. Then he came. When the Prophet saw him, he said, مَا زَلْتَ تَشْتَاقْتُ إِلَيْكَ. مَا زِلْتُ تَشْتَاقُ إِلَيْكَ. He goes, I missed you. The Prophet says to Gabriel, I needed you. I missed you. And subhanAllah, Gabriel goes, بَلْ أَنَا كُنْتُ إِلَيْكَ أَشْوَقُ إِلَيْكَ. He goes, no, I missed you more. I heard a scholar talking about this. He said, where's our shauq for the Rasul? How many of us long to be close to him on the day of judgment? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The revelation pauses, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in a state of desiring this message, wanting it more, but it's not coming yet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted his fear to go away and his longing for revelation to come back. And then once it comes back quickly. And I won't rush it so that we can give it its haq to what happened next when the revelation came. As we always do, we want to just reflect on how beautiful he was, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For 2 minutes, inshallah, I'll read some of the descriptions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah, I want you to picture him. That's all we do in this moment. We picture him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would say, let none of you inform me about anyone else with something negative, for I like to come out into the community with a clean heart. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send out one of his companions to do something on his behalf, he would say to them, give glad tidings to people and never push people away. Make things easy and don't make things difficult. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would meet people, he would not shake their hand until he said salam first. And then when he would shake their hand, he would be the first to shake hands. And then he would take the person's hand and clasp his two hands around their hand, strengthening his grasp over the hand. When any of the companions would encounter him, the companion would stand up and the Prophet would stand up too. When one of the companions would meet him and extend his hand, the Messenger of Allah would extend his hand and would shake it and would not let go until the other person let go first. He wants you to know, I'm here for you as long as you need me to be here. A little bit more. And when he would meet one of his companions and lend him his ear for them to whisper, he would not move his ear back until they finished saying everything that they had to say. When the Prophet ﷺ would meet a person, he would shake their hand and make dua for them. Every time, shake your hand. And he would make dua for them. And listen to this. No one ever called the prophet except that he said to them, Labbaik, I'm at your service, what do you need? I'm at your service, what do you need? When the Prophet would pass by young children, he would greet them. He didn't just walk past the kids. He would greet them and he would pat them on their heads. When he would come back from a journey, all the young children would come and they would, Jazakumullahu khairah, all the young children would come and they would welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was most kind and merciful to young children and those who depended upon him. One Sahabi, I'll end with this. He says, the Messenger of Allah named me Yusuf. I was a kid. He put me on his lap and he rubbed my head. Another girl says, he used to call me Zuwainab. Her name was Zainab. He used to call her Little Zainab. This is he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah accept from us and give us love of the Prophet. May Allah alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Philistine. May Allah alleviate their suffering. May Allah give us the love of his Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to benefit in this blessed month of Ramadan. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. One minute, right?